Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. Today, we are talking about routines, why they matter, and how to build ones that work for you, even when your life changes and even when you think you can't do it. By freeing up mental energy, routines allow us to focus on what truly matters. Creating routines creates space. So let's find out how in today's episode. So we're going to take a look at the difference between routines and schedules. We're going to look at the benefits of routines and what creating them can do for us. And then we're going to dig into how to create routines and pivot when they stop working or when life changes, which it always seems to. So you might be thinking, this all sounds great, Hannah, but I'm not sure I can stick to routines. Maybe this episode isn't for me. But wait, don't go. I get it. The idea of starting something new is not always fun. Perhaps you're anticipating failure. Can I even maintain a routine? I can hardly remember to brush my teeth. Interestingly, you may not even know that you already have many routines built into your life. I guarantee it. This may resonate with some of you, as it did with my client, who said, "I don't have any routines. I wish I did." We went through each of her days and she realized that not only did she have routines, but she was kicking butt at maintaining them. I encourage you to examine your own life and see where you have established routines that help you achieve your goals throughout the day. Okay, so first let's talk about the difference between schedules and routines. People often use the words interchangeably, but I think it's really important to know the difference, especially if either or both words cause any type of anxiety or stress for you. So a schedule is time-bound and rigid with specific activities at specific times. For example, some people might enjoy a strict schedule. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, they brush their teeth. At 7:20, they stretch. And at 7:30, they write in their journal and plan for one or two top priorities of the day. I just realized that they're spending 20 minutes brushing their teeth. I meant to say at 7:15 they brush their teeth. So anyway, a routine is more flexible and focuses on patterns of behavior. There may be order to it, but it's not necessarily time-bound. So if we follow the same patterns of behavior of the schedule that I just shared right now, it would sound like this. Every morning, I brush my teeth, then I stretch, and then I write in my journal and plan my top one or two priorities. You could even switch around the order as long as you're getting those things done because you know they help set you up for a great day. There may be a time-bound aspect to a routine, such as I need to start work at 9 a.m., so all of this stuff must be done by then. So depending on your personality, how your brain works, and your life's demands, you may prefer one over the other, or maybe you use a combination of both. Sometimes a time-bound schedule is exactly what we need. Knowing what to do and when to do it can take the pressure off of having to decide in the moment, and it can also create urgency, which for some people, not everybody, but for some, can be motivating. So for example, yesterday, I had some tasks that I absolutely had to get done because other people were relying on me to get those tasks done. Even though I don't normally like rigid schedules, I used time blocking to carve out two specific times during the day to focus on those tasks. And it worked. I stayed focused and I got everything done. While schedules can feel too rigid for daily life, they are a really great tool for tackling those high priority tasks when you really need them. So now that I think about it, I'm actually using time blocking right now as I write this and now as I record it. So on a day-to-day basis, I personally don't like schedules and those routines do work better for me. And I know I'm not alone. For many people, especially those with ADHD or executive function challenges, strict schedules can feel like a setup for guaranteed failure. So a routine is often a better option as they can feel less overwhelming. They provide that structure that we might need to get stuff done without the rigidity of a time-bound schedule. And to add even more flexibility within a structured routine, we can add choices. This can help you complete part of your routine. So for example, a coaching client of mine has a goal of spending more time doing art. Because she has very limited time in her day due to her job, she has to make her creativity sessions time bound. But instead of saying, I'm going to paint for an hour every Tuesday and Thursday after dinner, she brainstormed all the different creative activities that she enjoys and has the supplies for. And now she has a list that she can choose from if painting isn't really calling her name one evening. Adding these choices is also super helpful if you anticipate some resistance to doing the things in your routine. So maybe you go to the gym as part of your exercise routine, but you can choose what you want to do when you get there instead of predetermining which exercises you'll do. It just all depends on what works best for you. So, you know, try out different things and see what works. For some people, the idea of adding a routine into their day feels too limiting, or maybe they are worried that they won't be able to stick to a routine. I know that this is something that I feel. So routines can really bring order to what might feel like chaos, and they can help us feel in control and less stressed. And sometimes they're actually really necessary. So Sean Potts, our editor and producer, just moved recently and traded the fast-paced city life for the slower rhythm of island living, and it's a remote island. So he needs to let go of his old city routines, which were so convenient, and build new routines that make living on an island much easier for him. So if he tried to keep the same routines, the locals would probably give him a pretty quizzical look when he asked where the nearest bodega was so he could get his usual breakfast sandwich. So in addition to making it easier to blend in and not sound like a tourist, routines can help in other ways. They can help us reduce decision fatigue. So when we automate repetitive tasks by adding them to a routine, we no longer have to decide. Constantly having to think and make decisions is mentally draining. We do it once while we set up the routine, hopefully once. Maybe we have to change them up a little bit if the routine's not working. But once it's all set up, it does the thinking for us. Routines can also create predictability. When we know what we do in our homes or at our workplaces, it can help us reduce stress and give us some stability in a potentially chaotic situation. So when I interviewed Tidy Dad for Focus Forward, he told me that he and his family do something called Foodie Friday. Every Friday, they check out a new snack spot where they live, and this gives them something to look forward to at the end of a busy and potentially stressful week. Routines can support our mental health. So creating and keeping up with healthy routines can help with emotional regulation and reduce anxiety. A regular exercise routine creates opportunities for us to strengthen our bodies and also regulate and reduce excessive levels of stress hormones like cortisol. A relaxing and predictable bedtime routine can help us fall asleep more easily, increasing the chance of a good night's sleep and a better day tomorrow. I recently replaced watching Korean dramas on my phone in bed before sleeping with reading a book on my Kindle. And I'm telling you, people, that has made the biggest difference to my sleep quality and quantity. Another benefit of routines is that they can help us free up cognitive energy, and they really allow us to focus on more complex tasks when we have more brain space. When we already know what order of things works best or what time of day we are at our peak, it's much easier to get work done. Both Kendra Dachi of Lazy Genius fame and Tyler Moore, who is that Tidy Dad, say that figuring out the right order to do things makes the doing part much easier. And from an executive function viewpoint, I gotta say, they're right. Okay, so let's look at some strategies that can help build and maintain routines. It's one thing to decide what your routine looks like and a whole other thing to maintain it. So first, let's look at some practical strategies that are good to keep in mind, and then we'll dive a little deeper into some aspects of these. So start small. Focus on one or two routines to avoid overwhelm. And anchor your routines to something. So attach new habits to existing ones, like do your stretching after you brush your teeth. This is often referred to as habit stacking, and it's a fantastic way to gently introduce a new step to an already existing routine. You know, one of those routines you discover you actually do have. You can learn a lot more about habit stacking in episode 3 of Focus Forward and in James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, which if you haven't read, I highly recommend reading. You can find the link to it in the show notes. We can use visual cues such as sticky notes, apps, or physical reminders to reinforce our routines. So any kind of alerting signal can be a helpful cue. Eventually, the effectiveness of these does wear off due to habituation, which causes our brains to begin ignoring things after repeated exposure. So hopefully your routine is more or less set up by the time the novelty of these cues wear off. If it isn't, you can try to tackle some of that habituation by switching up your cues or adding a second visual cue that adds some novelty for your brain. We can also set a trigger. So sometimes a specific event can cue a routine. So for example, in our house, when we finish eating dinner, it cues my kids to clean off the table and it cues my husband and I to go into the kitchen and clean up. So eventually I'd like finishing dinner to cue my husband and I to go relax on the couch while the kids clean off the table and the kitchen. Maybe I should start working on that. So another strategy that can help it feel less daunting to start a new routine is to think like a scientist. I know I've mentioned this before, and it's certainly worth talking about again. I am willing to bet that very few scientific experiments went exactly how those scientists predicted each and every time. When we create our routines as living experiments and not fixed systems, we lower the stakes and we create flexibility that, as we know, is critical for the survival of a routine. And also, when we think like a scientist, it can help us be less judgy of our own behavior. We can observe the routine that didn't work and then ask ourselves what got in the way of success, instead of using that energy to be disappointed in ourselves. We can figure out why it didn't work, make adjustments, and try again, just like a non-judgmental scientist. It can be really hard to remove judgment, especially if our core beliefs state that we cannot be successful at starting and maintaining routines. But I encourage you to try to shift your thinking, just slowly at first. Just really work on that, because you know what? We don't have to believe our core beliefs. And of course, as with anything new, it's good to start small. If we were new to studying chemistry, we'd start with something like a vinegar and baking soda reaction. Starting small can make maintaining a new routine feel more attainable. We wouldn't ask fifth graders to aim a blowtorch at some potassium chlorate and sugar. So try to limit your new routines to something that feels manageable. And ask yourself and be honest, is this reasonable and realistic to do this new routine? And as I mentioned just a bit ago, a good way to start super small is to identify those routines that you already do and stack a new behavior right onto that routine. Another helpful question that you could ask yourself is, what works for me right now and what can I add to it? So try a routine for a week or maybe more, assess its effectiveness and adjust as needed. It's important that we talk about how to pivot when our routines stop working or when you're going through a transition time. Life is full of transitions, big and small, and these shifts often disrupt the routines that we've come to rely on. And whether you're starting a new job, entering a new school year, or adjusting to a change in family dynamics, it's important to remember that routines aren't meant to be static. It's okay for them to evolve, just as our lives evolve. And quoting Tyler Moore again, he says routines are like the rhythm of a symphony. He says sometimes the symphony feels fast-paced and chaotic, other times it's slow and contemplative. Routines work best when they solve a problem or complement what's happening in your life. Thanks, Tyler. When we're navigating transitions, identifying pain points is a crucial first step. So ask yourself, what's not working? Is it the timing of your routine? Is it the method? Maybe the tools that you're trying to use? And then once you figure that out, try a different approach. You know, for example, if your mornings feel rushed, could you move an activity like stretching or journaling to the evening? And, you know, back to thinking like a scientist, treat these changes as an experiment. Give yourself permission to try something new without any expectation of perfection. I mean, we shouldn't be expecting perfection at any time. So why start during a tumultuous time? So way back in episode 12, Rachel Holstein Lowe emphasized the importance of foundational routines like sleep and nutrition during these transition times. As she pointed out, when we're not well rested, our executive function skills like memory, problem solving, and self-regulation take a hit. And she's right. This makes it harder to keep up with even our already established routines. And Rachel recommends focusing on these areas as they create the stability that we need to adapt to changes. One practical takeaway from Rachel's advice is to simplify and prioritize routines that directly impact your well-being. So if you're juggling a lot of responsibilities, focus on creating a bedtime routine that ensures consistent sleep, or plan your meals to avoid relying on quick, unhealthy options during busy days. These small adjustments can have a big impact. When I started not bringing my phone into my room, it was right at the beginning of school when my kids' school started. And I really, really, really needed to, you know, think about how I could increase the quality of my sleep to get through that tricky time. And lastly, don't be afraid to let go of a routine that's no longer serving you. Tyler summed it up perfectly. Leaning into the seasons of life means understanding what worked for you before might not work now. And that's okay. And as you experiment, remember that every attempt, whether it's successful or not, teaches you something valuable. And it's true. It really does. So whether you're adjusting to a new chapter or just feel like your current routines aren't cutting it, embrace the flexibility to pivot. Try experimenting for a week or 30 days or whatever works for you, and focus on those foundational and regulating habits like sleep and nutrition, and trust that routines will evolve with you. They will change with you. Life isn't static, right? It's not static, and neither are the systems that support us. And that is our show for today. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. My takeaways from this exploration of routines is that routines aren't rigid. They're flexible and adaptable. They can create order and reduce stress. Their benefits go way beyond being productive. They reduce our mental load and support our self-regulation skills. And of course, as I like to say, you gotta start small and think like a scientist. We're experimenting here. There's no expectation for perfection. Be sure to give a routine a good try and see where it takes you. If you know someone who might benefit from some support with routine, send them this episode. We are so grateful for your help in sharing Focus Forward with others. As always, if you have any questions or topic suggestions, you can reach out to me at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I would love to connect. It helps us out a ton if you can rate us on Apple or Spotify, and even better, leave a written review on Apple. And you know what? When you do that, it helps more people find us, and it doesn't take much time. You can even follow and set up auto downloads of Focus Forward on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can sign up for our subscriber email at beyondbooksmart.com/podcast. I just love my team so much here at Beyond Booksmart. Our producer and editor is Sean Potts, and our content marketer is Justice Abbott. Thanks for listening.